Sorry, I'm getting over a cold. So today I'll be talking about the association between exercise and bone mineral density in postmenopausal African-American women based on results from the Health Assessment Survey from African-American women. I have no relationships to disclose. So the purpose of today's talk is to determine the association between exercise and bone mineral density and to ask the question, is increased exercise positively associated with increased bone mineral density in postmenopausal African American women? Okay, here we go. According to the National Osteoporosis Foundation, osteoporosis is estimated to affect 1/3 of postmenopausal women. 10 million Americans are estimated to have osteoporosis, and almost 34 million more are estimated to have osteopenia, which is characterized by low bone mineral density, placing them at increased risk for developing osteoporosis. Of women over 50 years of age, 5% of non-Hispanic African American women are estimated to have osteoporosis, and an additional 35% have osteopenia. It's been suggested that African-American women start out with greater bone mineral density and lose skeletal mass at a slower rate than white women do. One of the best ways to prevent osteoporosis and bone loss is through exercise. It's recommended by the CDC that older adults engage in 30 minutes of exercise 3 to 5 days per week. However, African-Americans are one of the more sedentary groups compared with other races and ethnicities. Among women ages 50 to 64, only half are doing regular exercise, and 1/4 of the women doing regular exercise are doing moderate intensity exercise. If postmenopausal women were more active, it could nearly halve the incidence of hip fractures and decrease the risk for osteoporosis. To assess osteoporosis and related risk factors, the Health Assessment Survey of African American Women, better known as HASAW, a cross-sectional study was conducted. The HASAW cohort were from an upper middle class community and had higher education levels. The HASAW women were recruited from San Diego City and County agencies, active and retired University of California San Diego and San Diego State University employee pools, women's organizations, churches, and personal referrals. Inclusion criteria included women who self-identified as African American or Black and had their last menstrual period 1 year prior to enrolling in the study. Exclusion criteria included women who were not postmenopausal or who weighed over 275 pounds. In total, 438 women were recruited to be in the study, but due to incomplete data and ineligible women, 337 women were used in this analysis. The listed variables were included for data analysis in the study. The HASAW study was approved by the Institutional Review Boards at San Diego State University and the University of California, San Diego, and all participants gave informed consent at the beginning of the study. Data were collected by trained interviewers at the UCSD NIH General Clinical Research Center, and the data were analyzed using the SPSS version 11 for Mac. In Table 1, you'll see that on average, women's bone mineral density Z-scores were consistent with women of their same ages. Mean age is 62, and the mean and median BMI scores indicate that the women, on average, are almost obese, falling well above the normal healthy weight range. Heart rate and HDL cholesterol mean scores fell within the normal clinical range, yet the mean total cholesterol score is over 200. The total fat percentage is considered very high, which is consistent with what we saw for BMI. Age stop menstruating is younger than what the CDC considers to be the average age range for menopause onset, and out of the women who took estrogen replacement therapy, on average, they took it for about 10 years. The next table shows that 22% of women were in an organized exercise program and about 8% of the cohort did weight training for exercise. About 42% of the sample took estrogen replacement therapy at the time of the study, and just under 65% had used estrogen replacement therapy in the past. 63% of the sample had a hysterectomy or oophorectomy, and half of the sample had ever smoked cigarettes, and 10% of the sample was smoking at the time of the study. About 62% had drinking alcohol in the past year. Looking at BMI further as a categorical variable, just over 20% of the women were normal weight and the rest were overweight or obese. Less than 5% of the women had been diagnosed with osteoporosis, which is consistent with the national rate. To determine if there was a relationship between being in an organized exercise program, weight training exercise, and the continuous covariates, independent T-tests were conducted. Type of exercise was analyzed as a categorical variable with answers listed as yes or no, and this was compared with the mean score of each covariate. No statistical significance was found between any of the covariates with type of exercise. However, the linear regression analysis shows that being in an organized exercise program was statistically significantly associated with total hip bone mineral density in the age-adjusted, age and weight-adjusted, and full linear regression models. Organized exercise was marginally associated with femoral neck and lumbar spine bone mineral density in all three models. Weightlifting in the last 2 weeks was statistically significantly associated with lumbar spine bone mineral density and in the age and weight-adjusted model only, and was marginally associated with the full model. Weightlifting was not statistically significantly associated with femoral neck or total hip bone mineral density. To go back to the purpose of the study, the analysis demonstrates that increased exercise is positively associated with increased bone mineral density. The results demonstrated that being in an organized exercise program was positively associated with higher total hip bone mineral density Z-scores when adjusting for age, age and weight, and the full model. The results also showed that women who participated in weightlifting exercise had significantly higher lumbar spine bone mineral density Z-scores compared to women who did not lift weights. However, this was only seen in the age and weight adjusted model. A review of the literature has shown that little is known about exercise in African American women. However, it is well documented that weight-bearing exercise does play a role in protecting bone in osteoporotic women. For example, Kembler et al. In 2003 evaluated bone mineral density in postmenopausal women with low bone mineral density and ran a control trial to determine if an exercise program that includes weightlifting could increase bone mineral density. Kembler found a significant relationship with lumbar spine, but not with femoral neck or total hip bone mineral density, which are similar to the results of this study. In a study done by Afghani, Barrett Connor, and Wooten in 2005 using the Hassaw data, the results showed strong positive associations that confirmed that large body size and obesity protected against osteoporosis. The fact that the majority of this cohort were overweight and obese might explain the low rate of osteoporosis better than the exercise measures do. Studies on African American women during their postmenopausal years have been conducted, but as a whole, African American women have not been studied as frequently as white women with respect to bone mineral density and exercise. A strength of the Hassaw study is that it was designed to exclusively recruit and retain postmenopausal African American volunteers. This is one of the only studies of its kind, recruiting well over 400 volunteers during the course of the study. This number is quite remarkable considering that the recruitment of African Americans into research studies has proven to be quite difficult in the past. One limitation of Hassaw is that it was a cross-sectional study, so causality could not be established. Another limitation of the study is that intensity was not measured in the types of exercise the women were doing. For example, 22% of the women reported being in an organized exercise program, but no specific types of organized exercise were asked about. Also, the women who were weightlifting were not asked how many repetitions or how much weight they were lifting. Hassaw selected postmenopausal, professional, upper middle class, African American women living in Southern California to be in the study. Therefore, the results cannot be generalized to all African American women. To conclude, future prospective studies should be conducted looking at exercise and bone mineral density in postmenopausal African American women. When this is done, we can better apply what we learn about bone mineral density in African American women for future osteoporosis research. We might further see the relationship between body size and exercise as well. I'd like to give special thanks to my co-authors, who are also on my master's thesis committee. First, Dr. Elizabeth Barrett Connor, who is in Family and Preventive Medicine at the University of California, San Diego. Doctors Ming Ji and Caroline Massera, who's here. They're from the Graduate School of Public Health at San Diego State University. Dr. Vanessa Malcarney, who is at San Diego State in the Department of Psychology. And Dr. Wilma Wooten, who some of you may know as she gave the opening talk here at the convention. She is the public health officer for San Diego County. Hi there. Yeah, those questions weren't asked. The questions were taken from another study called the Rancho Bernardo study, which has been conducted over the last 30 years here in San Diego by Dr. Elizabeth Barrett Connor. So these are questions that were taken from that longitudinal study. And so since this was just a cross-sectional study, we didn't look at a lot at the exercise variables over time. However, with the weight training exercise that was used, we looked at that over the past 2 weeks, how many times did you do weight-bearing exercise? But I think that for the other variable, for just are you in an organized exercise program, that was just a yes or no question. It didn't ask over what time period.
You don't know whether these are regular people who exercise at least on and off. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Gosh, that's a really good question. And we didn't really, I don't know if anybody's really looked at that extensively.
But if you looked at your first or second slide, you did say that they have to walk 3 to 5 times a week.
Right.
Which would suggest
so that could, but
that
over
it
that
has to be like, you know, you just like walk
right.
A period and then drop off and then come
yeah,
back.
But it's like at what point does it
yeah.
start, do you start, so from like, you know, from your DEXA scan, because DEXA is how you measure bone mineral density, you know,
right.
Maybe if you tracked, you know, from this DEXA scan, baseline DEXA, and then, you know, follow over 3 months, 6 months, and see how far out you start really seeing a noticeable difference.
For most, I think, postmenopausal women, they only recommend them about every 1 to 2 years, the DEXA scan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there are studies that show that women who are engaged in premenopausal exercise, in the postmenopausal period, may show less benefit for osteoporosis. So that's number one. So just as a response to your question, the exercise may preempt osteoporosis. In her case, there's no evidence that this is of a therapeutic nature. But from a therapeutic, from therapeutic purposes, it is assumed that within 6 months you begin to see some sizable
difference. Okay.
6 months? Okay. Thank you.
First of all, if you're not exercising at all, and if you're gradually building up resistance anti-gravitational exercises, it's not like you can start from zero.
Right.
In 4 weeks, you're lifting weights. So
exactly.
The gradual process in postmenopausal women, the recommendation for some of the studies have shown 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And this is also, I question because it doesn't sound like you would have the information for it here, but is the relationship between physical activity and preventing or therapeutically helping osteoporosis monotonic? The more you exercise, the greater the benefit, or do you reach a threshold where if you say run too much, you're a long distance runner, then you start having negative effects?
I mean,
the usual recommended exercise is well defined in terms of exercise and time and frequency. So nobody's asking them to go out marathon.
Right.
I have a final question. This particular study, it sounds like you focused solely on African American women.
Yes.
And was it a resource issue that you didn't like study also other races so that you could look at the differentials?
We could have done that, but I think for the purposes of this study, we wanted to look solely at African American women. And then by itself first, and then, you know, if we want to compare the results with the Rancho Bernardo study, for example, and taking, you know, the two time points from when the Haskell data was collected, it was collected from 92 to 99. So maybe looking at the Rancho Bernardo women from that same time point and asking the same questions would be a good comparison group.
Yeah, I think that just a final comment is it's fascinating to me from thinking about the whole promotion angle that you really need to promote weightlifting and an exercise program. You needed a combination. You had a final comment that.
Well, weight-bearing exercise obviously makes an impact, as well as being an organized exercise program. I chose these two variables because they are more bone-resistant, or I guess resistant type of exercises. So if you're but again, being an organized exercise program, we're not exactly sure what they were doing, which is one of the limitations of the study. But usually if you think of an organized exercise program, you think, you know, going to a step class, going to some kind of class at the gym. And if you're involved in something like that, rather than just, you know, walking down the street off on a straight surface, you're not putting a lot of weight-bearing exercise on your bones. But if you're doing weight training and doing some kind of organized exercise that is putting the weight bearing exercise on your bones, then that would probably make a difference faster than if you just were walking in a straight, you know, in a straight line down the boardwalk in San Diego, for example. So does that answer your question?
But that might be going a little bit beyond what
right.
you have the data.
Right,
show.
exactly. Just hypothetically,
same,
right.
True.
Okay.
Okay, thank you
so much.
Great question.